right now while you have it. Again, that telephone number, write it down. That's 404-212-2444, my friends. May God bless you. May God keep you until we meet again. You pray for us, and we'll be praying with you. And we ask, my friend, that you pray over everything that you do, no matter when it is, where it is, or how you plan to do it.
The wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
You are the Lord God Almighty.
And in you are
exalted over all the earth.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Romans 8:15 says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage. Listen at this. The spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Daddy God. And so we know that Jesus delivered all of us who through fear of death were all our lifetime subject to bondage. He brought deliverance because he destroyed the works of the devil. Amen. Amen. So God doesn't want you walking in fear of any kind. How many of y'all have identified some fear that you've been walking in? All right, see, today God wants to deliver you from that. He doesn't want you to be scared of anything. He doesn't want fear have torment, the Bible says. It will torment you. It will cause worry and anxiety. That's all worry is fear. You're worrying and meditating on something that ain't even happened yet, or something that you're anticipating that's unfavorable, and you're scared. So if you got any worries or anxieties, then I'll tell you what, if you trace it back, you're gonna find a spirit of fear there. You're scared God not going to do something he promised to you. Some people are scared God not going to answer them when they pray, so that's why they don't pray. Have a fear of unanswered prayer. You can't be afraid God ain't going to answer you. You can't be afraid God not going to do his word for you. I believe God going to perform his word for me. I just believe God going to take care of me. When God gives you a word and you know it's from God, then you have to let that word sink down in your spirit. When CeCe and I had decided, God had spoke to me about leaving a job that I was on, and I made a decision, I resigned, didn't have a job. And one night the Lord just spoke to me so clear, he said, Greg, I will not abandon you. Boy, I'm gonna tell you, that was over 10 years ago. I'm still living on that word. When he told me that was a lifetime word. That'll always be good. I can cash that anytime I get ready. Glory to God. I can cash in on that. Because he told me, he said, I will not abandon you. And I looked because it was almost like somebody speaking to me audibly. But I looked and wasn't nobody there. Then I knew it was God. And then I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what did you say? And then he said, I said, I will not abandon you. And boy, I received that word. I closed my eyes. I dropped my head like this. And I said, okay, I got it. Then I examined what that meant, that word abandonment. It means I'm not going to be left to my own aid. I'm not going to be left to my own means. It means that God is telling me that he's going to always provide for me. He's not going to walk out on me and leave me by myself without aid or support. And boy, that word got in my spirit, and when it did, peace flooded my soul. I couldn't even be scared no more of not having my job. Couldn't be scared of not paying the bills. Just had no fear. And in that same peace, I shared it with Cece. She received that word, and so much peace came in our soul. Why? God did that to combat the fear he knew was going to come against us. The devil always will try to push you in a direction God don't want you to go. Amen? Amen. God has given us the answer to fear, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Everybody say, power, love, and a sound mind. Now, that's what you have from God. You have power. God has given you power. If you are a believer, you have the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ working in you. Now, you got to believe it. Amen. God has given us power to overcome, to overthrow, to cast down, to cast out, to trample, to dethrone the spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of power and might. And Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive what? Power after what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me. Amen? He's talking about that dunamis power. It's that divine force of God that works in us. Amen? And then the same power worked in Jesus. In Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. There's that word again. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. We have the presence of God with us, and that should eradicate any fear. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, sometime if you're hanging out with somebody that's pretty tough, you ain't scared of the bully. Y'all might remember that time we had a little bitty fella, Tommy Gaines. Littlest thing on the bike. We didn't know it at the time, though. But boy, I'm gonna tell you, Tommy would fight like a little, I don't know, like a little scat back or something. And they had a big old boy, big, way bigger than him. Come around there and want to start some mess around the bike. Boy, Tommy went at him like this here. Jump across the fence. Come on, what you, boy, them boys got across that footwalk. And then they wait till they got on the other side of the body, then they start talking noise. Man, we say, well, we got Tommy. And then I got to be about 16, I looked at Tommy, I said, this is what everybody's scared of? I say, ain't nothing, Tommy a good guy, but man, he's little. I said, man, this dude here running the bar, I had everybody scared of him. That's why people gonna look at the devil one day and gonna say, this him? That's what the Bible says. We're going to say, this is the man, this is the one that deceived the whole world, him? God gave us power. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That word might there is the same word power. It comes from the same Greek word dunamis, which is sometimes translated power, sometimes it's translated might. But it's the same thing. And notice he said that dunamis works on the inside, in your inner man. The reasons why people give in to the temptations of the devil is because they don't have no power in their spirit. But we pray that all the time here, don't we? God grant us. There's a heavenly grant right there. You know, y'all know how you apply for a grant? Let me tell you, your faith is all you need to receive the grant from heaven. Lord, grant us to be strengthened with might by your spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that puts strength in our spirit. That Christ will live in our heart by faith. That we being rooted and grounded in love. Listen to that. There go love again. See, power and love working together. Power and love, that we'll be able to comprehend with all the saints. That have to do with your mental faculties. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? And to know the love of Christ. There's the love again. And to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. God wants you full of his fullness. He wants you to have all that power. Let me tell you, when you get in Christ, you shall not lack for power. See, when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack, that means he ain't lacking for nothing. I'm going to tell you, when you get in Christ, that's the end of your lack, that's the end of your deficiency, that's the end of everything if you just find out the truth. Tell your neighbor, say, I got the power of God in me. You're supposed to have faith in that power. See, Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You're supposed to have faith in that power working in you. That power works in you, and that power works through you. Glory to God. That's why you can lay hands on the sick and they get well. That's why you can cast out devils. Devils don't leave because they want to. They leave because a greater power done come. The Bible says that God's enemies submit to him because of his great power. They don't submit because they say, we better obey God. They submit because they get overwhelmed. You know how sometimes if a police want to come move you out of this building, you just say, I ain't moving. They'll bring enough power to get you out of here. And they can be dragging you out. You say, I ain't going, I ain't going, I ain't going. You still going. Why? A greater power done come on the site. You got this power in you. What are you doing with the power of God? Are you walking in the power? Do you have faith in the power? How much of God's power is at work in you? How much have you given place to that power? Glory to God. God empowers us. That's a gift from God. It's a grant that's given to us to help us do the works of Jesus. You can't do his works without his power. How are you going to do the works of Jesus and you don't have the same thing Jesus had? I'm going to tell you, you do. You have the same Holy Ghost. You didn't get a secondhand Holy Ghost. You have the very power that raised Jesus from the dead working in you. And you got to believe in it. You got to know when you pray, something's going to happen. You're releasing that power. That power is resident in us. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, so don't receive it. When fear knocks, see, you have to take the package. Like the UPS man come with the signature thing. He said you can't get the package unless you sign for it. That's the only way the devil can get you to get his will in your life. You had to sign for it. If you say, no, I don't receive that, he can't make you have it. You ever seen a UPS man make you take the package? Make you sign the thing? You can say, no, I refuse to sign. I ain't signing. All they got to do is put it back in the truck and go on. You just tell the devil, take your stuff. Look, there's a house on down the street. You're going on down to another. You ain't coming in here. Somebody else, you may find somebody else want that package, but I ain't signing. And if he tried to slip in, sometimes we open a door and we let him slip in. But when you detect him there, you need to open the door and show him his way out. Because he don't have the right to stay when you done dedicated your home to the Lord. He got to get out of there. So you got the power. Tell your neighbor again, say, I got the power. Now, you're not being cocky when you say that. See, some people won't say it because I don't want to brag. Don't be stupid. You're just saying what God said. How many of y'all believe that scripture say in Ephesians 3:20? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask of him, right? And then we stop reading. What the next part say? According to what? The power that's doing what? Oh, we got some power working in us. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think because he got some power working in us. I got power in me. It's the Holy Ghost power. And I'm not saying that arrogantly. I say that humbly because I know everything I get from God, I got it by grace. Now tell your neighbor again, say, I got the power. Now use the power, amen. Believe what the words say. Have faith in that power. All right, the second thing you talk about was love. Love, Romans 8, 36, 39, says, as is written, for thy sake we'll kill all the day long. We'll count it as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen at this. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's past or future. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can nothing separate you from his love? You say, well, I'm just going to be a big bad sinner. Still not going to separate you from his love. Because he loved us while we were yet sinners. God loved the sinner. Amen. You can't stop God from loving you. It's his nature. You say, I'm going to be big and bad. I'm going to be ugly. I'm going to be mean. I'm going to be nasty. I'm going to be the biggest sinner there is. Still can't separate you from his love. Because he still loves you. He may not like what you're doing, but he still loves you. See, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says, but God, listen to this, but God who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Some of y'all just need to get saved today. You need to get over your fear of submission. You're scared of what you are going to lose, and if you knew what you was going to gain, you would let go of what you're holding on to. Some of y'all scared. Say, well, what if I give my life to Jesus and I don't turn out right? See, that's fear again. You're dominated by fear. Fear will blind your mind. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to keep you in darkness. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But then I like this next scripture here. But you see, because God talks about his love for us, then Jesus commands us to love. You're commanded to love. See, love is a major, not a minor. Some of us minoring on love when we should be majoring on it. Because love is what keeps you at peace. Love is what keeps your heart clean. Amen. And then I like it because you say, well, nobody can love like Jesus love. That's God's love. That's agape. How can I love like that? Then I find out Romans 5, 5 says that the love of God has been poured forth into our heart by the Holy Ghost. So then not only do I have God's power in me, but I have the ability to love like Jesus loved. He wouldn't ask me to do it if I didn't have the power. So what he did, it's kind of like how you empower your children. You tell your children, I want you to do this, then you give them everything they need to do it. Right? You say, I want you to build me a little castle down here. Then you give them all the blocks to do it. God's given us the love. It's in us. Tell your neighbors, I got the love of God in me. Say it again. Say, I love you. I love you for real. For true. I have God's love. I have God's love in me. I really do love you. You got the love in you. That love will bring deliverance in your life. See, we are commanded to love one another in all circumstances. Love is called the royal law. Tell your neighbor, say, it's the royal law. See, when you start walking in love, you're walking by the highest law that there is on this earth. It's the royal law. When you walk in love, you're walking in the royal law. Hallelujah. For good or for bad, I still love you, no matter what. Unconditional. That's the way God loves us. It's eternal love. Amen. It is the key to victory. It protects our heart from the subtle bondage of the devil, like strife, unforgiveness, and selfishness. A revelation of the love of God, that the love that God has for you and the benefits of walking in, that's what I'm talking about, a revelation. When you know what it means, it drives fear from your life. When you walk in love, God is walking in you. Doesn't the Bible say that? Say, he that walks in love, God walks in him. How would you like to be walking in love all the time? And have God in you, walking in you, God living his life through you. And I'm telling you, you'd have access to God's wisdom, God's strength, God's peace. You would know things to come. God would just reveal things to you. I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing like having fellowship with the Lord. That's the closest fellowship you can have. is love. God loves you, and he demonstrated that love at the cross. And there's not a thing in the world that we can do about it. All we can do is accept it and let it come into our heart and let it change us. The Bible says that love is the more excellent way. There's no higher life on earth than living in the love of God. Walking in love, like I said, is a major, not a minor. It's a major. Are you majoring in the love walk? It requires your undivided attention. Satan will do everything he can to keep you from walking in love, because when you do, you seal his doom and his destruction. He have no defense for the love of God. None. He can't do anything about it. The devil don't have all power. He can't stop you from walking with God. How many of you know it's not the devil's will for you to praise God? It's not his will for you to praise God, right? The devil don't want you praising God. Aren't every one of y'all praise God right now? You're doing something that wasn't his will. How come he didn't stop you? Because he can't. You can praise God anytime you get ready. He can't stop you. All he can do is watch you. Then he tried to hinder you. Say, you ain't got no reason. He tried to talk you out of it. You ain't got no reason to be praising the Lord. Look at how you're living. See, he always trying to discourage people. Don't listen to those negative voices in your mind. Anything that's pushing you away from God, you know it's the devil. The Holy Spirit is in the business of drawing us into the presence. Anything that draws me to God, make me want to go after God more, is of God. Anything that'll make me feel like God is mad at me, God is pushing me away, and that if I say anything, God's just going to strike me with lightning. Some people think God's just waiting to smash him one time. Well, if he was going to smash you, he'd already done it, because you didn't just get bad. I mean, just think about it. If he was going to smash you, he'd already done it. You ain't been living so holy. It's the grace of God. Praise God. You got to walk in love. So you got to receive that love, and you got to have faith in it. See, anything God imparts into your life, you got to believe in it. Just like we believe in the power, we had to believe that love is the best way. So when you're faced with an opportunity to walk in strife or unforgiveness, to hold a grudge because you've been hurt, see, the Bible covers all of that. He said, love and pray. You pray for those that use you. You love your enemies. This is what Jesus said. Why? Because now you got the capacity for it. You had a capacity to love just like Jesus did. You can do it. You can walk in love. Then finally, a sound mind. A sound mind. Amen. What is a sound mind? That word sound mind means an admonishment or a calling to soundness of mind, moderation, and self-control. A sound mind is a mind that's peaceful, calm, free from worry, fear, unbelief, doubt, free from all of those things. You see, the Bible says that God has given us a sound mind. From the day you got saved, God began working on renewing your mind to have the mind of Christ. God has to change your thinking so he can change your perception of reality. You see, if you never change your thoughts to line up with God's word, then you're going to stay in darkness. Whenever you hear somebody say, I ain't changed in 20 years, you know they're backslidden. Because if you're going to walk with God, it's a constant change. It's a constant renewing. So the Bible says, let the wicked man forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon. And then the Lord said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And then he gives an illustration of how the word goes forth, how the snow comes down and the water from heaven, and it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void of fulfillment. So you have to allow God to change your thoughts and your thinking to line up with the word. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 has to do. It has to do with you renewing your mind so you can know the will of God. See, Satan wants to blind your mind, because the Bible says that Satan, the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, have blinded the minds of those that don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And then the Bible says, but God has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or in the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, my mind was blind. In other words, I couldn't see my need for Jesus. You know, when I grew up, we used to hear a saying in our church I grew up in. They used to say, boy, when we get to heaven, every day gonna be Sunday. I said, oh, Lord. Oh, jeez. Every day gonna be Sunday. I say, man, that's what heaven gonna be like. Man, God, sitting in church all day long. It made you like, I don't know if I want to go or not. So, every day gonna be Sunday. I had the wrong perception. I had a blindness on my mind. Satan does it. You say, why didn't so-and-so get saved? Because their mind was blinded. So I thank God for all the people praying for me. When Ricky was praying for me, saying, devil, you can't have my big brother. And Brother Leonard told me, he said, that little dude would be down here crying out for your soul. And through those prayers, God was able to remove the blindness. Amen. Actually, what happened, Ricky used to invite me to come to a Bible study all the time. You remember Troy? One day you and Troy was in my room, and you was begging me, Greg, come on, go to Bible study with me. And I was sitting at my desk. I was a study. You know, I used to study. I was studious. I turned back. I said, man, I'll come when the Spirit lead me. You know, you have to have the right answer for them people that love God, you know. That's a good one. I'll come when the Spirit lead me. Ricky said, mama, you need to come to Bible study with me. Then Troy stopped him. He said, wait a minute, Ricky. He said, didn't you hear what the man say? Man say he's going to come when the Spirit lead him. Leave him alone. I said, there you go, Troy. There you go, Troy. And my boy, Troy. And so they had a Bible study, and I was sitting there, and I say, man, Jim Jones just killed all them people down there in Guyana. I say, Ricky over there, he on fire for God. He say, this might be one of them cults. I better go check him out. I better go over there and check out this thing, you know, see what my little brother got himself into. So they're having Bible study in the student union, and I snuck in. I was one of them spies. You know how Paul talked about it, said those that wasn't in Christ that came in to spy out our liberty that we have in Christ. I was one. I know what Paul talking about. I was a spy. I found me a seat way in the back in the corner. You know, a spy always look for the back row. Now, I ain't talking about y'all. Yeah. If our room here was bigger, we'd have back row that'd be empty, I think. But I sit over there in the corner and I say, let me see what they're in here. And I had my antenna, my dead antenna. I'm trying to discern spiritual things with a blinded mind. Mind blind. And Pam Jenkins, I saw Pam a few weeks ago, her and Joe, stood up and sung a song, tell them, even if they don't believe you, tell them that I came to let them know that I love you. And man, I was sitting in the corner back then, I don't know what happened, but something started welling up in me, I started crying. And then I look around and everybody in there was crying. I said, man, what's going on in here? All those in here, I ain't supposed to be crying. Man, that song touched my heart. She ain't had no music. And then the preacher got up there and preached the word, everything come right out of the Bible. I said, man, it's real. And then what really did it, I came back the next week. I remember telling Mama one time, she might not remember, I said, Mama, I done learned more about God in 2 weeks than I learned my whole life. She said, what you talking about, boy? You been in church all your life, sitting there with a blinded mind. But when God pulled the scales from off my eyes, I began to see. And I came back the next time, and that week you couldn't even get in the room. People all outside, college students. So I went around to the front, I had two doors, one in the front, one in the back. I went around to the front at the end, and I watched them pray for people that came up. And I was peeping in like this. And then I seen about three of them up there praying and say, Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I said, oh Lord, oh, they talking rough to the devil. I said, I said, oh, man, ain't never heard nobody talk to the devil like that. I said, golly, I did one of daddy's number. Golly.